Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, Running Commentary fans, we're back.
Morning, we're bit stiff, slightly stiff.
Yeah.
But moving into it.
God. Honestly, these knees don't want to close my eyes.
Are you getting a bit of pain from them?
Yeah, in fact, getting back into running after my hiatus,
yeah,
finding that it's making both my knees hurt,
right,
which, again, that old sort of weirdness of the consistent runner, I'm quite pleased about that.
Right.
Because when I wasn't running, it's all my left leg.
Right.
Right leg.
Right.
My hip and my right knee were really complaining for no good reason. So hurting on both sides means my form is good, right?
Sort of progress, yeah.
Tell me that my form is good. Now, listeners, it's more weekend, it's more good weather, no rain on us, it's all good.
Yeah.
And you'll remember our Q&A episode, which people loved, it was great fun. What we didn't do, is we didn't answer all the questions.
Yeah, we've still got a few.
So what we're going to do today is hoover up those bad boys.
Yeah.
Which, on another sunny day.
Hoovering it up on a sunny day.
Hoovering it up. Sucking up. All right.
Suck them up.
Because it's a Q&A.
Q&A.
We didn't do all of it.
On a sunny day.
On that day before you went away. I used to write TV theme tunes for a job.
Yeah.
I did that reminds me of a little story I'm going to tell you first. I did this show in Edinburgh called Werewolf Live.
Yeah.
And at the beginning they say, tell us a truth and a lie.
Yeah.
And I said, I've won Mastermind and I wrote the theme tune to TV's Charlie and Lola.
Right. Yeah.
And someone in the audience said, sing it.
Yeah.
And I went, da 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 da. As a result, they all assumed that was the true one.
Yeah.
It's like, well, everyone knows the Charlie and Lola thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, great thing, Jen. Would that I had written it. But I didn't. I did win Mastermind.
Of course you did.
There's another really good heron over there. Okay. So, I've got questions for you.
Right, mate.
Just a few, but they're good ones, right?
Yeah.
Joanne.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Joanne asks, how would you define your oft-referred-to concept of leaning in?
Leaning in.
I think that's a great question because I feel like it's a really useful phrase. When you say it,
yeah,
I think, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But if you try and put it in words, it starts to become quite amorphous.
I'm trying
as
to
a
think
concept,
now of the context of when I've used that. Leaning into a race, leaning into training, leaning into...
Yeah, I think my first thought is, and I don't know, we'd have to go through the records and see if we used it in a completely different context, but I think it's during a race, although it could be pretty much any distance.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of time, commitment and struggle.
Yeah.
So leaning in is where you think the most obvious one is you going sub 3,
yeah,
simultaneously knowing you're going to do it and that isn't going to be any fun.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a classic example of leaning in.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's sort of fully embracing the difficulty of what you're engaged in.
Yes.
But
how much you're going to commit to it.
But going for it anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Going for it regardless. You're leaning into the pain. You're leaning into the suffering.
Leaning into the event.
You're aware that this isn't going to be nice.
Yeah, so on one day...
Irregardless,
we're leaning in. That's right. And on one day, that
not
could
invading
really
it.
Mean... Leaning in could mean you're about to do a strong finish.
Yes.
You know, you're about to change down.
Yes.
And sprint.
Yes, yeah.
But on another day, leaning in could just mean that you're just going to maintain this pace.
Yeah, you're just going to do...
For another 5 miles or another 10 miles.
You're just going to do your best with what you've got at that moment.
So I think... It's almost putting a little bookmark on the... It's something that your body's doing.
Yeah.
That you mentally think, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of look at all the yellow lights flashing on the console and you turn them all off and you just carry on.
It's not particularly... It sounds like you're putting in loads of effort, and I suppose you are, but you're also accepting...
Yeah, monitoring effort that's already gone.
Yeah. This is going to be hard, but I accept it. Don't fight the fact that it's going to be hard.
I just thought of a GIF. I just thought of a film scene to represent this metaphorically. Are you ready?
Come on, then.
Luke, you switched off your targeting computer.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm all right.
Yeah. We're leaning in.
Leaning in. He leaned in. He sent those... things down the port and destroyed the Death Star.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, doesn't it? He used to target one Pratt's in his T-16 back home. And that was bigger than 2 metres. I'm not sure I've entirely clearly explained this to Joanne.
No. But you lent into the explanation.
I lent into the blooming metaphor.
Sorry, mate.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Caught up with a rambler at the kissing gate.
Whoa.
Stop here.
Easy, stop.
Okay, so we're in the middle of the Seven Sisters Road.
Yeah.
And we ran out in front of what was essentially a car chase car.
Yeah.
Big black European car.
Right in the middle of some quite heavy traffic now.
Seems to be stopping and turning right. It might be doing a U-turn to come back and shoot at us. Yeah. FSB!
Here we go.
So...
It's quite... feels like we're in...
And I think
danger.
Leaning in running for time... I think leaning in is always present.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of...
And it also...
It's good for Joe to call us on that, though, isn't it? Because it's quite nice to work out what you actually
mean. What we actually mean. It's fun. It's as much fun for us as it is hopefully
kind
for the
of,
listeners.
called us on our... On our
as we wait to cross this road. Look at Ali Pally framed
here
in the gate to the canal.
Yeah, got that's it. Nice.
And there goes Paul. But I think, it's... And I think the last thing I'll say about it is that it's simultaneously, it's a very kind of zen thing. Because on the one hand, I think what you said is completely true. It's not so much about making a decision to go harder or to carry on. It's about recognizing that you're gonna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and ignoring your own emotions and
yes,
or pain.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
But
absolutely.
On the other hand, there is an element of surprise to it. Because I think it's about when the reality of what you're attempting to achieve hits.
Yes, yeah.
You know, you think, I'll be able to do that. I've done the training.
Yes,
it's connected to that thing we always say about marathons is that they're hard.
Yes.
You know, and you can be really fit and really ready and totally achieve what you wanted to do and have it go exactly how pretty much you expected. You're still going to turn around and go,
really
whoa, this is really hard.
Yeah,
and leaning in is basically carrying on at that point.
Yeah, and every good race... includes within it moments where it just feels like it's too much.
Yeah.
That's almost what a good race is, isn't it?
It's yeah, that's right.
That blend of really hard training with maximum commitment. And, you know, it always ends in exhaustion.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a good day.
Yeah, it's a relationship with the red. No, exactly. That's such a thing for me these days, particularly as someone who has reconciled himself to not having a... much of a gear change for the finish.
Right.
Is in marathons, the last few marathons I've done, and all the good marathons before that, I feel so terrible
right.
the moment they finished.
Yeah.
And that's a good sign, isn't it?
I think it probably is, yeah. Yeah. It's a sign that you've forgiven.
Look at this. Someone just in between questions, someone's done the grass on the other side of the canal. It's like.
Yeah, really nice.
It's like they've just laid it out. It's gorgeous.
We're just coming up from Clisson Park to Finsbury Park. Very
from
nice.
The lovely little bit of canal, which is absolutely beautiful, but also kind of forgotten, so the risk of seeing quite terrible things up here is strong.
Yeah, it can get a
but
bit
today it's lovely.
Yeah, but today it looks good. So we hope that answered your question, Joe. As yeah. opposed to, of course, leaning out, which is what you do out of a car window.
And do let... Yeah, yeah, that's dogs. If you want to find out more about that, listen to the Dogs and Cars podcast.
Yeah. Dogs drinking coffee podcast.
It's just lovely the way the wind goes in your ears. You feel the wind in your mouth. You can taste the world.
And then you see another dog doing the same thing.
And you go... But that's leaning out.
Yeah,
that's not really a question for today. Joanne, do let us know whether that worked.
That helped at all.
Or whether you're like, what? Okay, David.
Hello, David.
Where in the world... This is a bit like another question we answered. It's a bit different. So we'll do it.
Okay.
Where in the world, where you haven't been already, would you love to go for a run?
It's tricky, that one, isn't it? Because we haven't been there already.
Yeah.
I would like to... go to Africa.
Yeah.
I've got friends who've been to...
I had a farm in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got friends who've...
It's just setting the reins down in Africa.
...been training in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. Some club members from Heathside.
Yeah, yeah.
And they try to get me out there. It's just try to find the time to go. But they go out there for like a week, 10 days.
Yeah.
And they just love it. Of course. I absolutely love it. So I would like to do that to feel I'm sort of... somewhere in the home of distance running.
Yeah, yeah, watch
out. Really go for it.
No, it's like when we ran with Darren and Finn,
yeah.
who wrote Running with Kenyans. And that sounded amazing.
Yeah.
Although, when you said about running out there, I do remember his story, which erstwhile listeners will surely have noted because it was so telling. That one of the things that those runners he was running with would do is they just warm up by starting slow and getting faster over a really long run.
So he'd
set off with them and think, oh, this is good. And then he'd warm up, oh, I feel great.
He'd
get a bit faster and think, wow, I feel really good. And he'd think, oh, they're getting away from me a bit here. And then, oh, okay,
I'm on my own.
They have totally gone.
Bye. They start off super, super slow.
Yeah.
And then just get faster and faster.
And that is, I find that fascinating because it's all I can do to run at any different speeds, let alone one long sliding scale of speed.
And they really work hard on drills for running, sort of like, sort of the strides of loosening their upper body as well. Eight is loosening their upper body. And then they just go, they just charge.
Do you know what?
Sounds fun.
Just this moment, I come up with an answer to this question.
Yeah.
Actually, which is good.
Yeah.
Because I think, almost like anyone, my first thought, the idea of purity of running, is to get somewhere out in the open.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To run, I don't know, miles to a Swedish forest or down an American highway, or to run the old marathon, you know, to run to the sea from Sparta or whatever the hell it is.
Wait, missed it. Sorry, mate.
Or maybe just to be on my own as Paul runs into Finsbury Park and I get stuck behind a massive line of traffic. See you, mate.
Oh,
it's been fun.
Take a while to reconvene. Rob missed it. Missed the window of opportunity.
I can't. I could just carry on talking. So he won't hear. Then he won't understand what I'm talking about.
Forced to use
right,
the
I got to the crossing. I pressed the button.
Forced to press the blooming button.
Here we go. Here we go. It's Paul's birthday party. I just suddenly realised I had a little epiphany just then.
Yeah.
Which is that I like running in cities.
Right, okay.
I love nature. I want rivers. I want gradients. I want to see lots of sky and see lots of water. But there's something so wonderful about exploring a city, partly because it's an attention span thing.
Right.
You see so many different things.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
And even though I've done the New York Marathon, God, I'd love to go for a run in New York and not be doing a marathon.
Yeah.
Jealous of you the other day.
Yeah.
I'd love to go for a run in Stockholm or Oslo because I've done that before. But equally, I went to Tallinn. That was superb.
Yeah.
So really, any city, particularly a city with history, which is any city, right?
Yeah.
Because in Oslo, I found the same thing I found in Manchester, Glasgow, Newcastle, which is that post-industry is where you find interesting routes.
Right.
Old railways, old towpaths, interesting buildings. But then also the history can be even older than that. You know, I ran around in Tallinn. I was running around the city, you know, like the Citadel.
Right.
And in Luxembourg. So somewhere else like that, I'd like to go for a run in Riga or San Francisco.
Yes, I've actually run a bit around San Francisco. It is nice, yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, for preference, somewhere that's got history and hills.
Yeah.
But really, I'm open-minded. I will find myself, to paraphrase Talking Heads, find a city, find myself a city to run in. Yeah. And for reference, somewhere quite north.
Yeah.
A nice clean air.
Yeah, absolutely.
So not too much heat and pollution. Helsinki.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Toronto, lovely. Vancouver.
It is good to explore areas, isn't it, when you run? You don't know where you're going, you just run out when you're on holiday. Yeah. Great work to explore the city, isn't it?
One of the runs that I just remembered talking just then was when I went for a run in Lausanne.
Yeah.
And we were staying, I didn't have a map or anything, and it was pretty cold.
Right.
I wore long sleeves, so basically one layer and shorts.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll run down to the Lake Geneva and run back up the hill.
Yeah.
Of course, the whole thing was on a much bigger scale than I thought. Yeah. So I ran down to the water.
Massive, isn't it?
It's about 4 miles.
Yeah.
And I ran along for a bit. I thought, I'm going to find my way back up. And did that. And I was having a great time having a look at the city. I just realised I was terribly lost. Yeah. And it was the only thing I could do was just keep running.
Yeah.
You know, it was just I'd have got cold. I didn't have a phone. So yeah. I just had to keep running until I found a vague idea of where I was, which gradually turned into a, you know, and I actually got back. I thought, well, either I'm going to find where I'm staying or I'm not.
Yeah.
Either way, on we go. And that was early on for me. I think, I don't know if I'd ever done a half marathon or a marathon at that point, but I ran about 10 miles.
It is quite nice sometimes just to get lost when you're running.
Yeah.
Just running lost.
Yeah, particularly for me, because I'm not that. I think that you're natural runner status and doing it from youth, you've got a sense of that, whereas I'm very fussy, planner, mappy. So, but I completely agree. But it needs to happen like that. It needs to be sprung upon me.
Organic, yeah.
So, that was a good question.
Yeah, it was, great.
And I really found that, the city thing, because it's funny how your first thought is always something like Osmotherly, you know, just to be out on the high tops. Looking off into the distance. It's pretty boring, isn't it? It's boring.
This is nice.
Yeah, really good. I'm going to make a little stop.
Yeah, cool.
When we get to Finchley Park.
It's beautiful.
Toilets.
Nice and hot.
Yeah.
In the sun. Kids playing basketball.
So, get rid of this question really quickly.
Go on then.
Is there a trick to opening Starburst whilst running? Asks Ruth, who's been opening them, then rewrapping. That's a pretty good trick.
This is your department.
Yeah. And I'd like to know, Ruth, how that's working out for you, the opening them, rewrapping. I've also considered opening them and then putting them in like a, you know, in a bigger package, like a little bit of cling film or something.
Right.
But ultimately, they're a massive pain.
Yeah.
And I tried to open one at 20 miles on my last Yorkshire Marathon. And I tried for a while and gave up.
Yeah.
Chucked it into a ditch. So apologies, Yorkshire, because I littered at that point.
It's a real
And I'll be honest, I haven't had a Starburst on a run since.
It's actually quite a pain opening anything when you're running, isn't it?
Yeah. And eating anything.
Yeah. Sort of has to be done, but at the same time, just a bit annoying.
But I'd like to continue this conversation, Ruth, because I'd like to bring it back.
We will do.
I love the Starburst, because the reverse of that is I've had moments with Starburst where that, particularly I'm picturing a lime one or a blackcurrant one.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe in 18 miles into a run.
Yeah.
Where even though my mouth is going, oh, it's like ash, the flavour.
Yes.
It's like, it's like a religious experience.
Absolutely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Finsbury Park in the summer.
Isn't it beautiful?
Very nice.
Should we take a boat out or carry on running?
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to boating commentary. Yes, that is that flavour surge, isn't it, in the middle?
Yeah.
It's like sort of remembrance of things past or something, isn't it? It's a real childhood kind of tang to
yeah,
it, isn't
and
it?
It's so strong.
On a summer's day.
It's like, and it taps into a deeper thing on a long run or in a marathon where... you know, there's that whole layer of skin gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, layer of psychological skin.
Yeah.
Where not being able to open a sweet can make you want to go, I hate my life! And the flavour of lime can make you go, oh my God, I can see into Jesus' face!
And it also reminds you that at some point you will eat again.
Yeah.
Because you're so far from eating, aren't you, when you're running a marathon?
I don't want to lift someone else's thing, but, you know, I've had such full-on daydreams about fizzy drinks,
right.
Fizzy water, fizzy cider,
yeah.
And lager, which, of course, if you actually had, you know, you'd get it in your mouth and go... but when you're daydreaming about it, when you're running, like, oh, my word.
Yeah.
And I've got no experience with extreme ultras. But did you see Susie Chan was asking people about their
hallucinations? Yes,
I don't know what responses she got. She's reporting on. But her example was 81 miles into a 100-mile run, she saw, inverted commas, a load of picnic tables covered in glasses of red wine. That's a strange invitation.
I can relate to that.
I think that what's the dangerous... pixies with lanterns that are supposed to lead you into the bog.
Is it right?
Will-o'-the-wisp and spooky things that, you know, marsh gas could go on fire, so you'd be walking on Dartmoor.
Right.
And you think, oh, good, there's a light.
Yeah.
And you end up dying.
I was reading about an ultra runner the other week. Sophie Raworth put something on Twitter about female ultra runners. And how good they are. The best female ultra runners are good. You know, regularly beat men in in fields and stuff. And there was one woman who ran blind for the last 12 miles. Just like, what kind of level of mental strength are we dealing with?
Yeah, that's right. You know? No, do you know what that is?
I mean,
that's leaning in.
That is really leaning in.
That's leaning all the way in.
Yeah. All the way in.
Well, so I've stopped having Starburst.
Right.
And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna learn how to do it because they're lovely.
Yeah.
And they're vegan.
Should we go that way and cross?
Yeah, let's go up the we're just gonna come out of Frenzy Park now here, which is lovely. There's just a little bit of cloud cover now.
Yeah.
And it's actually gone to lunchtime. It's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
I think partly because it's slightly late in the summer, or maybe because the weather hasn't been great. It's like the weather's nice, but everyone's a bit blasé about it.
Yeah.
So the parks aren't ram-jammed.
No, it's not.
No one's panicking. But so we'll cut out here and take the Gillespie nature walk down to Highbury Field and back. So, here we go.
Got it.
Christina, who I believe is Norwegian, says, since Paul comes to Norway so often, when will we see him at Tøyen Parkrun in Oslo?
Well, I'll have a look at that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know that existed until this very moment. And next time I'm in Oslo, if I'm there on a Saturday, I will be along. I know I'm there in November with Michael.
There you go.
With the old Macintosh.
So the short answer is November.
Hopefully, yeah. If it tells us, absolutely, yeah.
Have you run in Oslo before?
That would be really good fun. I haven't run in Oslo before, no. I've run a lot in Norway, though, which is amazing. In the mountains by Bergen. Absolutely,
oh, God,
fantastic runs there.
Oh, that's superb.
Yeah, it really
What's
is.
What's the flight of stairs there? It's called the Stoltenheim, I think.
Yes, yeah.
That's
yeah.
where me and Mickey D did that run. you know, it was supposed to be a recovery run after London Marathon.
Yeah.
But I was with Mickey D, so
Mickey D,
it was one of the heavy runs of life.
Yeah.
And the other thing on tour, you've really got to squeeze them in. So we needed to get back to the hotel in time to hotel breakfast before our car kind of takes to the airport. So here we are in Bergen at the actual crack of dawn.
Yeah.
And then we ran to that, which is a kilometre... stone staircase.
Yes.
Straight up the side of the mountain.
Wow.
And then you're running in the mountains just along the trails.
It's amazing. It's amazing up there, yeah.
And we ran and we get to the top of the funicular railway.
Yeah.
Which, as far as I can see, is normally absolutely bristling with tourists.
Yeah.
But we were on like the first run of the day. No one on it. And we saw dawn come over the mountain, so the sun peeling back across Bergen.
I love
Bergen. Bergen's a great city.
Yeah, it's great to run in. And you can feel really isolated like 15 minutes from Bergen, can't you? You can be up on your own out
yes,
there.
Yes, yeah, yeah, because it's a port, isn't it? So once you get inland, you're, I'd love to go back to Bergen, but I can't afford it. Yeah. Thank you very much. But also going back to Oslo, Christina, I wish I could tell you... Oh, that is the smell of a rubbish lorry, isn't it?
Yeah,
I wish I could tell you that where I was when I did my run in Oslo. But it was absolutely fantastic. And it was a real moment. In fact, it's in terms of our books about running.
Yeah.
If my book about running ever comes to fruition, this is one of the chapters. Because they're all that basically specific runs.
Yes,
songs
runs
and music. Those runs
and
moments in time, you know. But anyway, so here we go. I'm going to plot spoil that right now.
Go on then.
If you see blackberries, by the way, I want to get a photo.
Okay,
so I got to Oslo on this tour.
Yeah.
And we had this irritating thing where we'd sat in Trondheim.
Yeah.
Which is nice for like 4 days.
Right.
But we went to Reykjavik, Stockholm and Oslo and we were in each of them for about 6 hours.
Right.
Okay. Oh, God. So, and when we got
Whistle
stop. And when we got to Oslo, we had a couple of hours before the gig and then we were leaving, you know, and it was pouring with rain. And you know me on tour, I don't know what my training schedule was, but I had to get a run in.
Yeah.
So the other comedians just went to their rooms, went to sleep. And I went, ooh. And I went out of the hotel, I looked at the map, you know, talked to the person at reception, they gave me a bit of an idea where to go. And I ran out of this hostel-type place and found a river.
Yeah.
And it was just what we've just been talking about. It was a post-industrial river, so all these old mills.
Yeah.
It was a bit like, if you can imagine, one of those really nice towpath runs in Manchester.
Yeah.
Except, instead of a nice level canal, a thundering, terrifying mountain river.
Right.
Coming down waterfalls and man-made waterfalls. And just, I mean, solid, like as wide as this railway, white water going.
Wow.
And I ran up this.
Racing. Yeah.
And I followed it and it was, you know, there was paths all the way, but they kind of moved. It's all where the, you know, where the industry used to be.
Yeah.
So suddenly you've got to go over a brand new millennium style bridge because there's this huge mill with the water coming past. That. And then you get to a real steep pull through a little park and so on and so on. And I ran up this in the pouring rain and had that moment you always have when you go up for a run in the rain where after 20 minutes you think, this is the best idea I've ever had. And then I was on the way back down, so I did whatever distance I was doing or I got to the point of where the path didn't go on.
Yeah.
And I got the turn, I came back and downhill all the way, but like bumps and turns and, you know.
Yeah.
And then Josh Wink's Higher State of Consciousness came on.
Nice.
And running down next to this thundering light water. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that's my running.
That's nice. Yeah.
It's a nice gig in Oslo. I did it one weekend. I mean, I've toured there as well, but there's a gig in a place called Letta.
Right.
And I'll go there again. But
no, it is nice in Norway.
Yeah.
Eye-wateringly expensive.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It means
you
eat less.
Yes.
It's so traumatic.
Get really fit.
Yeah.
$400. $400 for... For
caviar.
For sealed...
But the crowds are great. The audiences are lovely.
Yeah. Although I had to change gear. The great thing about that gig in Letta was that it was all... First gig I've ever done in another country that wasn't in English.
Right.
So when I came on stage, that was the first English of the evening.
Oh, okay.
And I misjudged it. I was lucky because I did the Tuesday, and then me and Mickey D went to Stavanger and Bergen, and then came back and did the weekend.
Right.
And on the Tuesday, I think I came on and kind of went, come on, Rob, give us a minute to tune in.
Yeah.
But then the weekend was lovely.
Yeah.
And also the weekend falls around the park run. So if you're listening, let Comedy Club.
It always amazes me that there aren't park runs everywhere. Like when I went to the States,
yep,
I'd like Google park runs. There was one in New Jersey.
Yep.
But there's none actually in the middle of New York. It's obviously, I was chatting to the author there, and he was saying they have loads of like different events or sort, yep, of happenings. People just meet at midnight and run all night or whatever. These kind of urban sort of random events.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's crying out for the
There's something run. Really democratic, almost socialist about parkrun as well.
Yeah.
Isn't there? It just probably has a bit of a whiff of un-Americanness to it.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
You've got to be in the know to be in a club. Yeah. But a parkrun, you've just got to turn up. And also, yeah, kilometres, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Want to go and run 3.2 miles?
It's, I think
millions of American listeners saying, we have parkruns, we love parkruns.
I'm just amazed. Shut I'm up. Just amazed that it hasn't just stormed America. I can, yeah, only see it as a matter of time. Because he seemed really into the idea, while simultaneously seeming slightly threatened by, yeah, by its simplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah.
Kirkwall, as I say, in Orkney, that's a parkrun.
Right.
Couldn't do it. I was only there Monday to Thursday. But we actually accidentally had lunch exactly where it is.
Right.
And it's round and round a lake, which used to be the I can't remember what it's properly called, but it's some sort of like North Scots for the little sea.
Right.
Which used to be bigger in Kirkwall. And you run around there. And, yeah, I'm going to do that one of these days.
Absolutely, yeah.
What other parkrun cities have you got any? Have you done parkruns in other countries, other cities?
Not as yet, no. Not really abroad, no.
We're going to collect them up. I'm coming up on... it's a shame I didn't
You've
do
got your 50th coming up,
yeah. Yeah, it's a shame I didn't do those ones in Edinburgh. Because I'm nearly on the old 50.
Right.
I'll tell you what I'll do when I get to 50 parkruns. I'm going to get the 50 parkruns t-shirt. And that'll be the second best high-quality running top you can get.
Currently available. Even though we need some more merch, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. But
there's a bit of a shortfall
in the
merch.
That's another story.
Yeah.
Okay, so see you in Oslo, Christina. Paul might be there in November. We'll keep you posted.
Yes.
What's your favourite season to run in and why? Says Adam.
That is a tricky one. Especially with the weather at the moment, because it's all sort of... Thank you. It's all sort of melding into one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say probably, realistically, summer. You're not a fan of the summer
now
days.
No, I'd go winter.
But I like summer... Lazy summer runs.
Lazy really Sunday afternoon.
Really
I
long.
Got no room to worry.
Exactly. Really long, slow runs in the sun.
Yeah.
Really sweating. Come back really burnt and thirsty.
Like our long run in Oxfordshire last year.
Yes.
That was a moment in time.
In trousers.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talking about... no, that was the...
That was...
Race of the Stones. but the... which we haven't done. We're not making any claims. We talked about such a moment in time because it was during the World Cup.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so yeah. I like summer, spring. I quite like winter, but I can find those wet, windy days quite tricky.
Yeah, winter's
the bad one. But you like the winter.
Yeah, I mean, the one we come back to over and over again, I just think there's a real connection between the cold. I just run fast in the cold.
Yeah.
You know, my body sets off quickly to get warm.
And just stays there.
And just carries on going that fast.
Yeah.
So it is a really... Never mind leaning in. If I want to access pace without thinking about it too hard,
yeah,
then a nice crisp cold day will always do it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And all the different conditions are great because, you know, a really bright cold day is a gift to anyone, let alone a runner.
Yeah, yeah, really. With nice light on a winter's day, that's lovely.
Yeah, and I do my... central heating system is good, so I don't have to... I think sometimes people find it massive faff.
Right.
Gloves and hats and all that stuff. I rarely need more than one more layer.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes my hands will get cold, but they'll be warm in the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, within, no, it is I'm really, going to say the end, within sort of 5 minutes.
It's nice to snuggle up in winter and really wrap up and go for a run.
Well,
it's all good, isn't it?
I'm going to ask you a slightly different question.
Go on, then.
My brother asked me the other day, you've got four houses in four different places,
yeah,
one for each season, so where do you live? So let's do that for runs, right? You're going to run in each season.
Right.
Where are you going to run for each season?
You go first so I can understand the question.
Okay, well, it's New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And the weather is absolutely horrific.
Right.
So I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to be in Cornwall or the north coast of Scotland.
All right.
And I'm going to run along the cliffs.
Nice.
And just get my, you know, go to one of those places where the wind blows across your mouth and goes...
Yes.
And you're like, ah! So then spring's coming. I'm going to the seaside for the purest, most conceptual idea of summer. You know, like the Brighton half, which is freezing actually, but sunny. And you see the sea and think, God, one day soon, we'll all be down there with sandcastles. And then, And then, now it's summer. And we're going to go somewhere wide and high.
Right.
Hopefully, if you get right up on top, let's say Osmotherley,
right,
and there might even be a little breeze up there. But if there isn't, it's not too much gradient. We'll build up the sweat. Basically like the one we were just talking about in Tame.
Yeah.
But somewhere a bit more moorlandy, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And then come the autumn, then we've got to get to a city with a really nice park. So that, I mean, maybe just Clissold Park or Central Park.
Yes.
And see all the fall colours.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, New England.
Somewhere I can see the fall colours.
New England in the fall.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. New Year's Day. I might do it this year. I might run around Baggy Point in Devon, which is one that you haven't really done yet, have you, in Croydon?
No, no.
It's, to do.
It's actually a place my family used to go on holiday before I was born.
Yeah.
So we're always talking about it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's beautiful and it involves running sort of by the side of these cliffs, really quite austere and challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
And lonely, but there's something about it that's so beautiful.
Yes.
There's also a slight edge of danger. I mean, it's not dangerous, proper dangerous. One of those, if you fell over, you could go over the cliff.
It's
you know
not
what I mean?
A good
one of those.
To do with a two-year-old, is it?
No, it's not. No.
That's why my family always talked about it.
Yeah.
It was PTSD. I took my brother up there.
Right.
And the weather came in. And so on.
Yeah,
are we going straight back, or are we going to go round while we're here?
We'll go straight back if you want. What do you reckon?
Let's go round while we're here.
Okay, go.
It just feels like we're missing out if we don't.
Yeah.
We're talking in strangely codedly about Highbury Field, which you just arrived at.
Yeah, it's quite that Baggy Point run's quite sort of existentially confrontational, which is quite nice on New Year's Day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That feeling of like, I'm going to take it on.
I think particularly for us, you know, as in recent episodes, we can say that, you know, I think existential confrontation is becoming part of our day-to-day life. So let's get
we
it on.
We won't always feel like this. This is a phase. New Year's Day.
We'll always feel like
this. New Year's Day is... It's a good one to get a bit tough, isn't
it? It's just like, as you two once sang, Baggy Point on New Year's Day. Spare us the cutter. Oh, no, it's that kind of bunny.
And also, I mean, for spring, I kind of have to say London Marathon. I always associate spring with London.
And it's always the first of the weather, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it was really hot last year, but often it's like you train all winter. And then suddenly it's April.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It really is amazing when the marathon in spring.
Yeah. Summer?
Summer, I'm not really going very far, but I like summer evenings track racing, if I can.
Yeah, that's the season,
I'm being
isn't
pretty
it?
Unimaginative.
No, no, but it's important.
It's stuff that I've done and I like doing.
And there are events as well. I didn't think of events.
Yeah, I like...
The London Marathon, the Golden Stag Mile, that's a Friday night in summer.
Yeah, I like summer evenings.
Short and sharp.
On the track.
Yeah.
Your body nice and warmed up, running faster than you normally would.
Yeah.
But
not for too
obviously
long.
Slower than you'd want.
Yeah, well, always.
But a lot of good honest effort over a 5,000 or something.
Yeah.
And then the autumn, I always associate it, and again, very close to home and we're very spoilt. Just that run round Highgate Woods.
Yeah, of course.
In the autumn. Just
so
the
lucky to have that run.
And just
I mean,
anywhere
an actual forest, I think, of all the places. Well, actually, it's true of the sea as well. Just the other day when we were staying in Edinburgh looking at the sea, it's one of those places where you think, I could look at this view. And this wasn't a beautiful view. I'm talking about a glimpse of the sea just down the end of the road, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't ugly, but we're not talking a vista, you know?
Right.
But every time I looked at that sea, it was different, like completely different.
Yeah.
Different story, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that the wood has that.
The wood's like that, yes.
It's
totally.
Never the same twice. I mean, how many times have we been around there?
Yeah.
You know, 100 easy.
Yeah, it's constantly
changing. It's never the same.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful for that reason. It's a really nice observation.
Safer than actually running in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can take... The good thing about a good woodlight hiker as well is you can take a myriad of different routes around it and through it and
yes.
across it. And
yeah.
It's just really nice.
And good parks are like that too, a good big park.
Yeah. So, the different seasons.
So thanks for answering that question there.
All to be embraced.
From Rob Deering. Good question there, Rob.
Yeah.
do it. All right. Going right early. We're cheating on the Highbury Field Park Run. But luckily... We're not doing it.
Of course, I haven't done this for ages, the pattern.
All right. Well, we've only got one more question, actually. So
go on, then.
We're going to have to come up with things to talk about after this.
I can do that.
Are you going to be okay?
I think we're going to be absolutely fine.
Actually, before I even ask you,
yeah.
I think it would be interesting, having talked about all this stuff, to talk in a philosophical way about our potential running calendar over the next kind of year or so.
Yeah.
Because I think now we're really warmed up, we can be really hippie-ish about it, you know?
Yes.
Let's go to Latvia.
Yeah, well... Ah!
And also, this question, I don't know if it's going to take that long to deal with. It's from Jason.
Yeah.
And he says...
Jason.
Is that a purple clacker, or are you just pleased to see me?
Right. Actually, no, well, that's referring to, but thank you, Jason. Yeah, the year in running.
Wait, no, there's more questions here.
Got it.
Go on, say the year ahead. No, we'll get back to that, guys, because we've got to do these questions.
I was
entirely wrong. Just want to see... There's loads of questions. I was really taking my time.
No,
damn
worries.
It. Okay, let's go.
It's okay.
Start. No. God. No. Oh, the questions.
Oh, the questions. Okay. The questions.
What's the best treat you can have after a long run? Asks Sue.
I go really simple here.
Yeah.
Just a nice, like a massive cup of tea in the bath.
Yeah.
I don't bathe in the tea. I've got my little thing that I put the tea and biscuits on.
Yeah.
So I don't have to get out of the bath.
Very clever.
They're perched by the side of the bath.
And how do you feel?
And I get a cook.
No milk in the house.
And absolutely appalled. Appalled and disgusted.
Yeah.
I had that only the other day. It's a perennial issue. But not for me, just a cup of tea and a cake or a cup of tea and biscuits.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you? That's what I think of the last few miles of a long run.
It's, you know, it really is. It's really basic. It's really sugary.
Yeah.
And I do, part of it is habit. You know, if I run more than 10 miles, I am allowed a milkshake.
Right, okay.
And the best one is a Cafe Nero soya chocolate milkshake. Absolutely delicious.
Nice.
And I feel justified. But also, in a very almost completely medicinal way, and you'll remember me doing this after the London Marathon.
Yeah.
Can of Coke.
Right.
Because I also...
Get some sugar in, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm very... even when I'm completely beaten down there, I'm never hungry after a marathon.
Right.
My guts are too messed up.
Right.
And it reminds me of when I was in India and I had food poisoning. All I could do was drink fizzy pop and eat crisps.
Right.
You know, and that was just so I could get some salt and sugar.
Yes, yeah,
because
yeah.
Anything more complicated
little,
than
little
that...
pretzel-y things.
Might as well eat rope and yank it through.
Yeah, what was I going to say there? Yeah, that's one thing I like about training for marathons, actually, is having a really nice... milkshake after your long run.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's sort of really sugary and chocolatey.
I think in terms of tips,
in the fridge.
A proper chocolatey milkshake after a long run should be part of your training.
I think so,
and
yeah.
I don't think people always mention that.
No, I think it's a real treat to look forward to, and it is that window of opportunity to just...
If you're vegan, I am, Rebel Milk, that's the one.
Right.
Loads of good flavours. Yeah. They've got a coffee one, a chocolate one, a banana one, milk spelt with a Y.
Yeah.
Strongly recommended. Recommended so hard that I fully expect a case of those to arrive on my doorstep one day soon. Thanks in advance, Rebel Milk.
That is a great feeling, though, when you've done
a sponsorship blag. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
When you've done a really long run and you're sort of weaving unsteadily around your kitchen to the fridge to get a pre-prepared chocolate milkshake.
Yeah.
That's a real buzz, isn't it?
Well, you remember what I was like in the hospitality place after London this year. I was in a bit of a state with you and Ed Gamble.
Yes.
You guys kept sort of turning to and saying, you're right. And I'm like, I don't know if I am. Kind of clutching my head.
I don't know how I feel.
And the lady went and got me a cold can of Coke and it was...
hits the spot.
Oh my goodness, just saved my life.
Yeah.
This won't take us long because I think Mark's been quite grumpy here.
Go on then.
Why runners, I don't know, why runners feel the need to run on the spot at lights, wear shorts and leggings, or carry water on a 5K? And I would say, it's their run. Yeah. You leave those guys be.
Yeah.
I sometimes run on the spotlights.
That's quite funny for that. Quite funny to get a question so hostile to runners on a running podcast.
Yeah.
It's funny, I wore shorts, sometimes wear shorts with leggings. It is a bizarre one, isn't it? You know what part of it is?
Yeah.
Because leggings feel a bit too revealing.
That's right.
In and of themselves.
So and I wear some people feel that way about leggings. I mean, leggings.
Yeah, so I wear shorts above them so as to spare the world.
Spare us the cutters! Yeah. Spare us the clackers!
Protuberance.
Oh, don't say that.
I just don't want to inflict that on anyone. Yeah. So, yeah, I tend
and
to
I
wear
if I'm on a run and I get to lights, I feel like I'm going to stiffen up and lose my rhythm.
Yeah, so
you bob your legs.
It kind of makes sense, though. But it does look absurd.
It is unnecessary. But yeah. If you want to, for goodness sake, go for it.
And water on a 5K, again.
Some people train for months to do a 5K.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And some other people at a 5K absolutely. Might be practicing using water for an ultra they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's loads
so
of,
leave them be.
There's loads of different reasons. But
I think, don't be too grumpy, Mark, would be my tip. Go for a nice run.
Cheer up, mate.
And there are as many different kinds of ways to run as there are runners.
Absolutely. Yeah. There'll be some people really annoying him in shorts and leggings, jogging at lights while sipping out of a water bottle.
Yeah, although it's annoying, isn't it? It's annoying for everyone when a park run goes to a pelican crossing.
Yeah.
Then we get to my perennial feeling on marathons that go through cities when I get to a red light.
Yeah.
It really hurts me to not stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Craig.
Hello, Craig.
You're about to start, turn right. You're about to start your next marathon. This is good. We're getting the zone here.
You're about to do what?
You're about to start your next marathon.
Yeah.
But there's been a mix-up turning here.
Yeah, right.
Instead of water, you're only allowed to drink alcoholic beverages for the next 26 miles. Right. What are you having?
Well, this brings us back to the marathon du Madoc, isn't it? That we didn't end up doing.
There was nothing to do with Brexit, though.
No,
not much.
But it's a tricky one, that one.
I think we would like to charge you to come to France.
I only drink, in terms of booze, I only really drink wine and vodka and cranberry, none of which I think would be... Is there any kind of rehydrational properties to lager? I mean, does it at all rehydrate you?
I don't know, but I think, it's my first thought. You know, it certainly is a fake refreshing drink, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
So it's going to refresh your brain, even if it isn't refreshing your body.
Right.
I mean, I think unimaginatively, and also the real cheat would be if you allowed water at the same time.
Yeah.
So you definitely got hydrated.
Yeah.
Then you're drinking nice red wine.
Yes.
And I'm drinking San Miguel.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah. But I assume it's just a question of like... I mean, if you drank wine at every water station, you'd be smashed and emotional by 18 miles.
Oh,
you?
God, yeah.
It would be absolute carnage.
It'd be great. We should do this. And I mean, on the one hand, I really do want to do one of these drunken runs one of these days. But on the other hand, if you're realistic about it, it's just not going to be any fun.
No, it's not.
It's a bit like drinking as a teenager.
Yeah.
You're going to be drinking as a kind of act of self-abuse.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Although I had
an act of self-abuse.
Yeah, I had moments when I was really fit, just post London.
Yeah,
and occasionally I'd turn up to training at London Heathside, really quite hungover.
Yes,
and I found I was more able to tolerate the pain of like long intervals.
Yeah, I think hungover
because
running,
I was hungover.
I think hungover running is a good thing.
Yeah,
I know it's I wouldn't recommend it because that's just bad advice. But
it helps.
I think your access is it makes it easier to shut off your inner monologue. You know, in the same way that sometimes when you're really fit, runs can be really hard. Like my Canal Cancer Marathon.
Yeah,
the voice in my head was just relaxed and well rested at all times.
Yeah,
and sometimes you just want the voice in your head to shut up.
Yeah.
And a hangover will do that. I remember having a really heavy night. I don't know if it was even drinking. I think I was just up all night shouting my lungs out at a music gig.
Yeah.
Then I went to do my Saturday job.
Right.
And I thought, this is going to be awful. Oh, it's 5:30.
Yeah,
do you
know
what I mean? All your higher function just shuts down.
Yeah.
And
running as a cure for a hangover and just to get you through it can be amazing, can't it?
Yeah.
It can really hold you and just get you out in the country. And
I say ultimately, though, Craig, it's a bit of an odd question. Are you okay, hon? I'm projecting. Okay. When is the book coming out.
The book is coming out on February the 6th next nice. Year. So that's easily.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
6/2/2020.
I'm at the caption stage of the photos.
Great.
I'm going to have another couple of weeks with the text in October just for a final run through it.
Run through it.
A little jog, a little canter through the prose. And we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it coming out.
Yeah.
It should be nice. It's exciting.
Time. Yeah. That was from Anita, and she also says, Rob, any chance of you bringing out a vegan cookbook for runners?
Rob.
Now, I think the short answer to that is no.
Right.
Because I'd have bad imposter syndrome there.
Right.
Maybe I haven't got
the expertise.
Yeah, maybe if it was I would do it in conjunction with a vegan chef or someone who would be writing a vegan, like our friend Anita Bean would be good. Maybe that was Anita who asked.
Yeah, maybe.
Is it you, Anita? Anyway, although that'd be weird then because she should do it herself. Anyway, but on the other hand, it's a fair question because I find it interesting. I know what would be in my pamphlet of vegan running food.
Yeah.
And also, the book doesn't exist. I've been in the bookshop looking for this book.
Yeah.
And there's two kinds of vegan cookbooks. Well, there's three, actually. There's vegan cookbooks, which are basically light cookbooks.
Right.
You know, so it's like your Indian cookery book and then a vegan Indian cookery book.
Right.
Yeah, and then you've got ones which are so healthy, you kind of look at it and think, this is a book for people who want to eat very small meals.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't seem any fun, and it certainly doesn't seem hearty.
Right.
And then these days, Hipster 2019... is, and almost a counterpoint to that last type of book, is the preposterously masculine vegan book.
Right.
I'm a vegan man!
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sweary, tattooed yeah. vegan.
Right.
Because just because I got a penis doesn't mean I can't be a vegan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of books like that.
Yeah, it's that kind of food as identity, isn't it? It's
exactly.
become a real identity marker,
That's
isn't
right,
it?
Because this is a wider, more interesting thing, is that recipe books are aspirational.
Yeah.
So you think about elder recipe books we own. How many times do you open them up and cook something? Not often.
Right.
You know, it's just a way of finding out who you are, really.
Yeah, they're like lifestyle books, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But and then you've got the kind of Scott Jurek thing, which he'll throw a few recipes in.
Yeah.
In the middle of a very inspiring book. So.
Yeah. That's right.
There might be a gap there.
And that is, because it is like a language, isn't it? It's like songs or poems.
Mm.
A good recipe is a wonderful thing. I mean, I don't mind the aspirational thing.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able, we've got one about, I think it's called Amalfi, and it's a recipe book, but you just open it and look at the photos and imagine you're eating
yes,
cheesy
Amalfi.
Meals they describe.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. When can we have some running playlists curated by each of you? Asked Mo.
Ooh.
And I would say that you can get mine straight away.
You're the big curator.
They're on Spotify, so
yeah.
Look for me, and then particularly look for Best of RDIRM, which is Rob Deering's Infinite Running Music. And there's several playlists that say Best of RDIRM.
Right.
And they're different ones. There's like one with bass and one that will give you the story of the run and one with kind of counterintuitive songs and one with really literal songs. If you look on my website, there's blogs about them and everything.
Nice.
So go for it, Mo. And
yeah.
As for a playlist from you for running, when's that going to happen? Is it going to happen on the 12th?
Probably not for a while. I mean, I don't listen to music when running, but I'm sure I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's just something I've never really got round, but you'll realise by my enthusiastic participation in the 24 mile point London Marathon.
Yeah.
I am off that spirit.
You see how it would work.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're two ends of the spectrum there, Mo. You can go and get mine today and don't hold your breath for Paul's.
Yeah.
But good luck with it and thanks for asking. Whoa, he's gone that way. That was exciting. We've just returned to Newington Green. It's just beautiful.
It's nice to answer people's questions with it, isn't it?
It's lovely. This question thing, by the way, has been so lovely for us. We'll do it again. We're not going to do it again straight away. We'll follow that seasonal vibe.
Yeah.
And we'll do this again around the end of the year.
Yeah, it's nice to...
Have you got any more left?
To spread out.
Quick who decides the routes and who dictates the pace?
Well, the pace naturally settles in, doesn't it?
Yes.
The pace is... I mean, it really...
We have a mutual pace. It's generally the same, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about... And it has to be said, probably about 9.5 minute miles, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty slow and chatty.
Tens if it's hilly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's really
it's
nice.
It's really,
but
really
But we fall into
doable.
It. There's no... We're not following... Neither of us is following the other. It just sits. And
we routes are decided... fairly last minute, aren't they, according to how we're feeling.
Yes.
And can vastly... can change very quickly.
We keep it loose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll often have a plan and then abandon it as we run away.
Yeah.
We do try also to go to all different places, but we're aware that our listeners will be very familiar with all the runs from our houses. But then, on the other hand, I think we're very lucky because certainly, particularly between our two bases, we have access to loads of really nice running around.
Yeah.
So really, loads it doesn't matter. Products. If we run somewhere rubbish, we've made a bad decision because it's all good. So it's very mutual and not much thought goes into it.
And there was that question as well about whether we run in the same formation.
Yeah, no, we don't.
We don't, although I often find that I do... often gravitate to your right-hand side.
Oh, okay.
Do you think?
Maybe that's true.
I don't know, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's certainly not something...
If you see one of those pictures where I'm out in front, yeah. It's because I've gone in out in front to take a photo as well. You can't do a selfie from the back. Did I say who asked that one? That was Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
What was a typical week of training like for Paul in his build up to his sub-3, and would he consider going for it again?
Right.
Well, do we have to read the book for the typical
week? I don't know
whether
I would consider going for it again, only because I don't know whether I could do it, but it was basically every week between 40 and 50 miles a week.
Yep.
Two or three quality sessions a week, one long run.
It's quality street, yeah. Just have the green triangles.
Running six times a week at least.
Yeah.
Loads of park runs. Just loads and loads and loads of running.
Yeah.
Sometimes because of the way the weeks went, I'd do a long run on a Saturday and Sunday in the same week.
Yeah.
I quite got into that. I did one week, it was 86 miles that week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which felt great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was fitter than I've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that glorious.
You were attuned to the concept then, is that it's going out for a run again when you've done a long training run, which really you've got to be at a point to do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's basically you're training for running when you're really tired from running.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
like from running from dozens of miles.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then still being able to run.
You're training your body to run really fast when you're really tired, so you've got to do a lot of that in training.
Yeah. How far do you think we've run just then?
I would say maybe about 4-5. Oh, did we really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take that.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really nice.
But
really nice little run. Thanks for your questions. I'm aware that we're well down on doing the PBs. We've got to do that the next time we meet.
Yeah.
We've got to list the PBs. You're still sending some. Thank you. We will get those.
Yeah,
and
congratulations. And just in the interim, we would just like to say to everyone who has sent us a PB,
well done. Well done. And we hope to join you at some stage in the future.
Yeah. What about these last? How many questions have we got left here? There's still another 36. Okay, we'll do them another day, shall we?
Yeah.
I'll make a little note. If you can remember a question you asked and we haven't answered it yet, apologies. But all the questions you've had, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for that.
It's a wonderful
great.
Thing to do. And it's the... we.
Gets us thinking a little bit.
In the
wider
scheme of things, we cherish the dialogue. So keep talking to us.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to ask you this before we start. Oh, Paul, here's a question. Because, Paul, I don't know, are you on Instagram?
A little bit.
I don't know if you see Instagram very often.
Yeah.
Someone said, is there a good place for physiotherapy in Crouch End?
Here she is now. I'll have to sort that out. I don't actually know because I go to. Well, there is. Yeah, the bloke who sorted out my leg was great. My foot, but he's not. That's not really physiotherapy as such. He's very highly specialised.
Right.
If you want a bloke for feet, Andrew Croysdale is your man.
Okay.
But in terms of physiotherapy, I haven't got anyone as yet. No. I keep referring to old Melissa.
Yeah, but it's a chance we recommend.
Yeah, but
she's
more in town, isn't she?
She's in town, but she's not far from Crouch End.
Yeah,
really good.
She's absolutely fantastic.
Go for Melissa Trans is our first position.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to make a joke about getting massaged up the Crouch End.
Yeah. Massage at my end whilst crouching.
Oh, spell it out.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.